I love that song. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. The past several weeks, we have been taking a closer look at Jesus and the different facets of who Jesus is, his life and his ministry, and what those facets mean for us, and how we are called to live and respond in Jesus's call to us to be a part of his kingdom. We've explored Jesus as the God with us and really took a look at the power of the incarnation and the mystery of the Creator becoming part of creation, that God is with us in Jesus, always inviting us closer, that in Jesus' birth on Christmas, that we celebrate on Christmas, God stepped closer to us and invites us to step closer to God and to one another. We've also explored Jesus as a friend, because that is truly part of who Jesus is. He comes to be our friend. It is so important for us to have someone in our lives that we can laugh with, that we can tell that joke at, and know that there, if we just say a word, they're going to laugh. It's so wonderful to have a friend like that, or a friend that we can cry with and get mad with and go through the moments in life that we know we need someone there with us. Jesus is that friend, and also Jesus is that friend that sees in us potential and encourages us and helps us to move to become what we can be. We've experienced Jesus as healer, what it means for us to follow a compassionate, great physician that brings healing to us completely, body, mind, and soul. That Jesus cares for our lives and our health and wants us to be whole and healthy and calls us to be a part of bringing healing to people around us. And there's more. Jesus is our teacher. We've looked at how Jesus has taught, not only taught his disciples, taught the crowds, but he continues to teach us. Jesus is that teacher that teaches by doing and then encouraging us to do the same. Jesus taught his disciples that they would do great and amazing things because of what they have learned with Jesus. And the same is true for us. Jesus is our great teacher. We've also explored what it means for us to follow Jesus, who did miracles, who commanded the wind and the waves, who multiplied the bread and the loaves of bread and the fish, who healed people powerfully, who did things that we could never believe possible. And yet, Jesus, in all of his miracles, invites us to be a part of it, invites us to be a part of making miracles happen in people's lives all the time. So far, all of the things that we have looked at, Jesus as God with us, Jesus as our friend, Jesus as our healer, teacher, and miracle worker, all of them have involved Jesus inviting us, stepping closer to us, drawing us in to be a part of something wonderful and great. All of the things that we have looked at in Jesus' life and teachings and what it means for us to follow him have all been leading us to that sense of purpose and action, that we can do this, that we together with Jesus, we can do miracles. We can bring healing. We can teach and learn and do the great things of Christ. We can support and encourage and laugh with one another. And we know always that God is with us. Jesus is always doing those things. That's such a part of who Jesus is, to draw us in, invite us to be a part of what he is doing. But today we're going to take a look at one last part of who Jesus is. And it's the one thing that Jesus did that we can never do, that we can't do. And that is Jesus as sacrifice, Jesus as Savior. Because Jesus came into this world. Jesus befriended us and taught us and healed us, encouraged us, and showed us his power and his glory. Because we were far away from God. And we could do nothing on our own to overcome that distance. There is nothing, no matter what we tried, no matter how long we try it, no matter how good we might think we can be, there is nothing we can do to overcome the distance that is between us and God. But there was something that Jesus could do. And Jesus came to do that, to bring us salvation, to bring us back into right relationship with God, to bridge the gap. Sometimes I've seen this portrayed in as an image of a great canyon or a great rift like the Grand Canyon, but the cross of Christ laying over that. In many ways, that's exactly what we're talking about here. We could never have gotten to the other side, but Jesus could, and so he did. We can't do it. And if many of us try, we try to get there on our own. We try just to be good enough, to do enough, to give enough. But there's nothing that we can do that could overcome that gap, that distance. Only Jesus, only God could take that gap, that distance, that brokenness, that divide caused by sin. Only God could take that and incorporate it and redeem it and reconcile us through it. It's the work of Jesus. It's the one thing that Jesus does in his life, death, and his resurrection that we cannot participate in, that we cannot do as well. We cannot be our own saviors. Only Jesus. But I want us to think about why Jesus did that and the significance of Jesus' choice, of God's choice to bring us salvation and to restore that gap in the way that God did through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And the scripture passage that we heard from the Gospel of Luke really reveals something significant about that. We like to think sometimes, or at least people like me, pastors and biblical scholars and theologians, we like to think about Jesus and we get just really, Jesus is awesome. And we think about how Jesus came into this world and he's fully divine. He's God incarnate, wrapped in human flesh. More than just wrapped, he's the embodiment. He is human and he is fully divine and he can do all of these great and amazing things. And how amazing the acts of salvation are through Jesus. And we wonder that Jesus knew all along, every moment of his life, knew that he would die on the cross for us to overcome that gap. You know, sometimes we think of Jesus as a savior who is so powerful and mighty, he can never be defeated. He has defeated sin and death. In fact, In fact, there is an understanding of how Jesus brings about salvation called Christus Victoris, Jesus as victor. That in centuries ago, they would draw pictures of this, of Jesus wielding a great sword, doing battle with the devil and defeating him. We want at times to think of Jesus as Savior, as a superhero, as a someone who could not be defeated. Beowulf, Hercules, all of these great characters that could do what we couldn't, defeat the enemy that we were powerless against. Superman. But the passage in Luke, I think, shows us that that is not what Jesus is doing. Jesus is not wielding a great power that we cannot. Jesus is not wielding a sword to strike down a foe. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night that he knew exactly what was going to happen, he had just been with the disciples, ate the Last Supper with them, took the bread that we shared last week, broke it open and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body that's going to be broken for you." Gave them the cup, "Drink, this is my blood, my life poured out for you." He told them what was going to happen. He knew it. And he goes into the garden to pray, to spend time with the Father, the Spirit. I love how Luke describes that Jesus prayed so fervently, so intensely, that eventually he would begin to sweat blood. That he was so intense in his prayer that the capillaries in his skin began to break and oozed out of his pores and dropped to the ground. And what was Jesus praying? If there is any other way to accomplish this, if there is any other way for us to bring humanity back into right relationship with us, let's do that. Let's go ahead and do that other thing. If there was any other option, may this cup pass from me. Nonetheless, not my will, but your will be done. Oh, how amazing Jesus is. You know, that prayer is not the prayer of someone who is going in to save us without cost and risk or sacrifice to himself. Jesus is not Superman that could step in front of a bullet because he knew it wasn't going to hurt him. Jesus knew what was going to happen. And it was hard. And it hurt. And it cost Jesus more than we can fully understand. It cost God more than we can even describe to bring us back into right relationship, to bridge that gap. That's why Jesus was praying that night, because he knew the cost. He knew what it was going to take. This was not going to be something that would not harm him. This was something that would cost him, that he had to sacrifice for. But he would do it. He wanted to do it. I want us to reflect on that image of Jesus right now, praying so intently, so fervently, to do the one thing that you and I, that all of us, could never possibly do, that he would pray, and the tears, the sweat, would become blood dropping on the ground. I want you to reflect on that, because in that moment, we see Jesus' reasons We see his motivations. We see the purpose behind all of the other things that Jesus is in our lives when he's with us, our friend, our teacher, our healer, everything. It's because Jesus loves you. The only reason that someone would do what Jesus was about to do and what Jesus did in our lives and for each and every one of us is because he loves you. The only reason someone would pray so fervently in that situation was always because Jesus loves you. That is the purpose. That is why Jesus is our Savior, because he loves us. So I want to ask you, as you reflect on that today, what difference does it make in your life be to know that you are so loved in that manner? Think about someone who has loved you, a parent, a grandparent, a friend, a teacher, who has loved you even when you didn't think you deserved it. Think about how that love has shaped you and the difference that that person's love has made in your life. And think about how much God loves you, how much Jesus loves you. What does it mean for you to be loved that much? To be loved for no other reason than just being. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't even lose it. God loves you. Jesus loves you so much that he would do the most amazing thing. He would live for you. He would die for you, and somehow, in a mystery, would come and be resurrected and rise again and live so that we might live together with God, because God loves you. What will that love mean for you today and in the days to come? I hope as we begin the season of Lent, we will take that love that God has for us in Jesus, that we will embrace Jesus' great and mysterious love for each and every one of us and allow that love to change us and shape us so that we can begin to live that love in our own lives and share it with all. Amen.